last week the power went out. But we still are here to worship and proclaim His name in John chapter 15. We were talking about this morning in men's club. It's not the men's club. The leadership training. We were talking about this morning the blind man in chapter 9, if you remember from John, whom Jesus healed, right? Used the spittle of clay to heal this blind man's eyes. And the Pharisees snatched him up and they said, How were you healed? How were you saved? And the blind man says, basically, just paraphrasing here, he says, I'm not really sure how it all happened, but I do know this. I was blind, but now I see. Okay? And the reason I bring that up, because of our baptisms this morning, sometimes it's easy to be skeptical. We go, oh, here's an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, and here's a 10-year-old, 11-year-old. And so, you know, what do they know about salvation, right? What do they know about Jesus Christ? What do they know about, walking with God and all of those things? And there is some, you know, all of us have that. We have a little bit of cynicism in us. And so part of the reason today is so important is to understand that the blind man who was an adult didn't quite understand everything that had transpired, but he knew that he saw, and he knew that he put his trust in Christ. Okay? All those other details will come. All those other details will come with growth, and more importantly, they'll come through the work of the Holy Spirit, which is our subject today, what the Holy Spirit does. If you remember in John 15, Jesus started out this whole chapter, right, with the metaphor of the vine and the branches. He says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. In other words, God is the vine dresser, Jesus is the vine, and if you are connected to Him, you are the branches. Now, I don't know about you, honestly, but this is one of the most clearest expressions in Scripture of our relationship, of our union with Christ. For me, it's invaluable. It's invaluable because I can see, I was sharing this with my son last night in our devotion, I can see the vine, and I can see, in a sense, the fluid that comes from the vine, the life that comes from the vine and flows into the branches, and it causes growth and it causes fruit. And so for me, that just makes sense because the Father and the Son are intrinsically connected and the Holy Spirit is intrinsically connected and we are connected to the vine that we receive life. And so the evidence of our salvation is that we have fruit, that we bear fruit. Specifically, fruit in obedience, specifically fruit in a love for the Word, a love for God's people, and specifically that we go out and we make more fruit. We baptize 9-year-olds and 12-year-olds. Okay? And so that's what we're looking at today. Only two verses, verses 26 and 27 of chapter 15. Read with me and then we'll pray. When the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. And you will testify also because you have been with Me from the beginning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, hopefully humble in our hearts, that even an 8-year-old can get it. That it's not through wisdom and knowledge, it's not through goodness or badness. It's not through superior intellect or position or even complete understanding. It is through faith alone, in Christ alone. This morning we look at these verses, Father God. Let them be as cherished as any verses, especially for those that are in fear of their own testimony, Father God, that they would come forward not fearing man, not fearing the world system, the evil world system, but fearing God. We love You, Lord Jesus, for this testimony today. It is just precious that You would speak to us through Your Word, that we might know You, that we might have understanding, that we might love You more and more each and every day. We pray for Your Holy Spirit's work in the preaching today, my lips, your words, Lord, and in the hearing today, Father God. The testimony of your Son. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I've been emphasizing all along in this chapter, and I think it's just tremendous, like I said, if we are attached to the vine, the branches naturally are going to take on the character of the vine. That's just the truth of nature. It's the truth of God's kingdom. And so that's what happens in there, right? We forever take on the character of Christ. This is what true branches do. True branches take on the character of the vine, and eventually they produce the fruit that the vine wants to produce. This is just a great picture of our discipleship with Christ, right? Because a branch cannot bear fruit on its own. And one thing Jesus told his disciples with that illustration is that you can do nothing without me. That's what Jesus said. There's nothing that can happen apart from me. In other words, if you aren't connected to the vine, if you aren't connected to Jesus intrinsically, okay, forever, then there's nothing that can be produced out of you. Okay? In other words, you have no life in Christ. You have no life in Christ. Now, why is this truth so important for these two verses? I'll tell you why. It's very, very, very important. As we studied last week, right, Jesus had just revealed to his disciples that the whole world is going to hate you because it hates me. It's going to be set against you from the beginning, and you will be persecuted and hated for my name's sake, is what he says. Okay? And so he had just got through telling the disciples this, and now he tells them that the Holy Spirit will come, okay, and he will testify of the truth. He will testify about me, and you will also testify. So why is this so important, right? Because the disciples at this point are thinking to themselves, wait a minute, right? If they didn't believe Jesus and he did all these miracles and stuff and he was the Son of God, then how in the heck are they supposed to believe me? How am I going to go out there against a hostile word, a world and proclaim his name with power, any conviction, right, if Jesus couldn't do it? They killed him, or in this context, they're going to kill him. You know, how are we going to do this? How is it going to happen, right? The world rejected Jesus. They killed him. They're going to reject the disciples also. In fact, God even foreordained this, right? If we look last week in verse 25, you just back up a little bit. In verse 25, it says, "But they have done this to fulfill the word that was written in their law that they hated me without grace," right? He's quoting in this right here, Psalm 35 and Psalm 69. He's saying, look, it had already been prophesied that when the Son of Man came, he would be rejected and hated by the very people that he came to. He foreordained. Remember, we've been saying all along in John's Gospel, and this is so important for your theology, Jesus Christ was not killed by accident nor by the will of men. Jesus Christ was killed by the will of God. Right? I quoted this a few weeks ago. This man, Jesus, Acts 2:23, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. It's not an accident. God sent him because he knew he would be rejected and he knew that they would put him on a cross, and it was necessary that he would go to the cross, because without him on the cross, there was no hope of salvation for those that he came to save. Foreordained. Okay? Man didn't have anything to do with it. They acted it out, but God was the one that foreordained it. And if they hated Jesus without cause, then obviously the followers, we know this, right? We're next on the list. The disciples were next on the list. If they hated him, they're going to hate you. That's what Jesus just told them. But yet there was still the command to go and bear fruit, wasn't there? You're going to be hated. Nobody's going to listen to you, and they are not going to like your message, but you still have to go. You still have to go. And so the disciples were like, right? That's our apprehension. I mean, let's admit it, right? All of us. We talk big in here. Remember, we talked about the pod people last week, right? Right? We're all, hey, hallelujah. We're going to praise the Lord, and everybody's going to hear the gospel of Jesus. And we walk out those doors, we turn into pod people. Right? That's us. And so unless you understand what God has done for you in salvation, okay, the Holy Spirit, right, has done for you in salvation, Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the point here, the key of these verses today, and really through the whole of chapter 16, is that the coming of the Holy Spirit would be these disciples' power, it would be the presence of Christ, and it would also be the witness of Christ in every believer who puts their trust in Jesus. That's where we get this energy from. That's where we get this confidence from. That's where we get this comfort from. That's what Jesus is doing, right? In other words, it would be the coming of the Holy Spirit that would carry on the ministry of Christ through His disciples, through you who believe. And Jesus wants to emphasize that there is a human responsibility in this. God does it, but there is a human responsibility to walk, to go, to bear fruit, despite of the circumstances. I mean, these guys want to shrink back, right? We already talked about all 11, right? With the exception of John, who wrote this gospel, all 11 were killed violently. Violently. And so Jesus had already mentioned the Spirit previously in chapter 14. Remember, this is all the same night before His death. So He's talking and talking and talking, and they're going along. I don't know how many hours He talked with them. I'm sure it was extensive. And so remember back in chapter 14, probably just a few moments before this, I'll just read it. John 14:16, He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. Right? Great. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you, He says. And I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus says. Right? I will be with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit from the Father, will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. That was John 14. That was a few moments before Jesus is speaking here. And so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the role of the Holy Spirit today, because we're going to be talking about this for about the next 3 weeks in chapter 16. What the Holy Spirit does for us, what the role of the Holy Spirit is in God's kingdom, who the Holy Spirit is. But what I do want to emphasize today is that the Holy Spirit is the power behind the ministry that we do. The Holy Spirit is the power behind the preaching. The Holy Spirit is the power behind your hearing and your understanding. The Holy Spirit is the power behind your confidence and boldness to speak the truth of Christ, even in the face of opposition. But you've got to seize that. You've got to believe that. To stand against a hostile world is not easy. To talk to people about Christ whom they don't want to listen to or listen about is not easy. And so the 11 remaining disciples, right, they know it. They're going to be hated. And they're apprehensive. And so Jesus comforts them with these words. He comforts them. When the Helper comes, who I will send to you, right? I mean, all of us, I know I'm supposed to witness for Christ, but every time I get into a situation where I know I'm supposed to witness, I chicken out. What do you believe about the Spirit of God? What do you believe about the Spirit of God? And it doesn't get easier with maturity, let me tell you. Whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old, it does not get easy with maturity. It does not get easier with knowledge. You think, oh, well, he's the pastor. He can go anywhere and talk to anyone. Man, there's plenty of times I chicken out. It doesn't get easier. There's always an anxiety in ministering, especially when you know that there's an increased hostility towards what you're going to say. It's easy to preach to you guys. You guys are easy. You're like, yeah, we love that stuff. Okay? You ever talk to somebody and all they do is shake their head? What happens sometimes when I preach to groups that I know are not Christians? They just shake their head. Good. And I'm shaking my head. Right? Oh yeah, this is true. There's never a time when you have it figured out. Even as a pastor or a teacher, there's never a time when I assume or I believe that I've got it all figured out. Talk to the elders, same way. There's a tremendous anxiety. In fact, I always say, and it's kind of just a routine thing, the more I know, the more I know I don't know. Okay? And so there's never a time when you got it figured out. This is why the Holy Spirit must come. These disciples, they're infants. We're talking about 8 and 12-year-olds, right? These disciples are infants. They know nothing. They're not understanding. In fact, all of 16, you're going to see, they're like, why does he keep saying that stuff? Okay? This is why the Holy Spirit must come. And so Jesus reiterates the role of the Spirit to them, right? To his disciples. He wants to comfort them with the truth that they would not be on their own, right? And so this same promise is for you. You're not going to be on your own. This walk that you have in Christ is not on your own. It's Him in you. It's Him providing for you. It's Him feeding you. It's Him giving you the sap, so to speak, as we've been saying. The life in you. Look at the verses, verse 26. He says, when the Helper comes, I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. See? Verse 27, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus makes it clear here that the Holy Spirit is the Helper. He is the one who testifies about the truth, right? And He is the one who comes directly from the Father. Great significant verses here. Great significant verses. Remember, Jesus just promised us in chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit will be with you forever, right? That He will abide with you and be in you. That He will be the presence of God in you. That He will teach you all things. That you will be able to remember what Jesus has said because of the Holy Spirit and have understanding. And so because the Holy Spirit takes up residence in all believers, okay, pay attention to this. Because the Holy Spirit takes up residence in all believers and the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity, three persons, one God, then the other two, God the Son and God the Father, also reside in you. That is the power of the Creator of the universe in you. In you. Jesus answered and said, to him, this is John 14, right? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, notice the we, will come to him and make our abode with him. Monē is the word, abode, dwelling place. We will make our home. What a beautiful picture that is. Because the Father and Son will make their home in you, right? Because the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, verse 26 says. And He will be the one who testifies about Christ in you. And He will cause you to testify also, verse 27. You see it? This is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. He is called the Spirit of Christ, and He is also called the Spirit of God. Because He comes both from the Father and the Son. Romans 8:14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You'll note here that we are led by the Holy Spirit. I love that. I love that. We are led by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we follow the Holy Spirit's lead because the Holy Spirit is God. Tremendous, right? Jesus said, when the Helper comes, now, we've talked about this word helper in the past. In my mind, it's inadequate. Now, I know the word is inspired. I'm not denying that. But helper is a little inadequate only because our idea of helper is so convoluted. Okay? I've heard people say that, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot, you know, all that kind of stuff. Nonsense. Okay? Jesus is God and Savior. Remember, we just talked about this a couple weeks ago. Jesus calls us friends, but we have no authority or standing to call Him our friends. We call Him Lord. Okay, very important. Very important distinction. And so even though the helper, this word parakletos, right? It's the advocate or mediator, a counselor, a comforter. We've talked about all these. Probably a combination of all of them. He's not just our defense lawyer. In fact, the word means to come alongside. He comes alongside of us. That's where we get the notion of help. But don't ever think that He's following you. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not a genie in a bottle. Man, if I could help Christians understand this, right? Holy Spirit, please give me my house. Give me my money. I want a job. Can I have a car? Save my dog, Ralphie, right? The Holy Spirit is not a genie in a bottle. The Holy Spirit is God who leads you. It's the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. And probably the most important thing we need to understand about the Holy Spirit is that He is a person and He is a He. Okay, look at the verse in 26. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me, right? The Holy Spirit is not a ghost, not an apparition. The Holy Spirit isn't the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power, period. Okay? All by Himself. Each one of them are equal in all of their attributes, which just means they all have the same power, the same character. Okay? And it's totally delineated in this verse. If you look at verse 26, right? You have Jesus who speaks, or I'm sorry, you have Jesus who sends the Holy Spirit, right? You have the Holy Spirit who comes from the Father, and then you have the Holy Spirit Himself is the one who testifies. You have all three persons in the Trinity named in one verse. There it is. Three persons, one God. And the Trinity has been together since the very beginning, since before time, before eternity. Okay? Holy Spirit didn't come for the first time in Judea in the Gospel of John here. I have Genesis up here, which is always fascinating to me. Notice the three. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, right? Jesus is the Word of God. You could even put there, Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. And so we follow the Holy Spirit's lead. He is the one that comes alongside us. He is the one that is the power of our witness, right? In context of our passage today, the Holy Spirit is the one who comes along with the power that enables us to be able to stand against the hatred of the world. It's tremendous. Okay, it's not a battle. Remember we said our battle is not against flesh and blood. Granted, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, but our battle is not with them. Our battle is with the evil one who influences them. And so He will continue to be the witness to the world, right? He will continue to testify about Christ through us, but He is also the one who overcomes the world's blindness so that they may know who Christ is. Okay? See how important that is? See how important that is? We can't shut out the world that doesn't like us. Because the same Spirit that helps us witness to a world that doesn't like us is the same Spirit that will save some of those that we witness to. Remember the disciples, they're freaking out, right? How are we going to talk to a hostile world? Man, they killed Jesus. How are we ever going to get the word out? Jesus says, don't worry, man, I'm going to send you the Helper. And He's going to be the power and presence of Christ in them. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, as I said, then you have the Son in you, which is Christ. And if you have the Son in you, then you have the Father in you, which is Father God. You have the power of God in you. Have the power of God in you. He says in verse 27, the Holy Spirit will testify and you will testify also. There's the go. There's the go. In Acts 1:8, before Jesus ascended, He told His disciples this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Do you see it? And so the same promise is us for us today, right? You can be comforted by the fact that the Holy Spirit resides in you with the power of Christ to witness to the world. To witness to the world. Now, we just baptized two young people today, 1:8 and 1:12. And so your cynicism says, they're too young, they don't know. How are they ever going to be a powerful witness to the world? Right? That's what we think. They're so young and they're so, I mean, if you look at Alyssa, what's she, 40 pounds maybe? How is she going to witness to the world? How is she going to be able to stand against the hostile world? And Jesus says, you know what, don't fret, little ones. Don't fret, little ones, right? When the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me, and you will testify also, whether you're 8 or 88. And so I don't have to worry about how much those two can articulate the gospel today. I don't. All I have to do is know the desire that they have to love Christ and to follow Him, and God will give them the power to do what He has called them to do. That's the truth of it. I mean, you have to ask yourself, when you think those things, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit, who is God, can be hindered because of your age? Can be hindered because of your knowledge? Right? Can be hindered because of your fear or apprehension? Do you think that stops God from testifying about His name? It doesn't. It doesn't. Remember, who of us here in this room today have got it all figured out? Stand up and be praised. No one does. No one does. I've seen 10-year-olds go into situations that I would never go into. Right? You stand up in a third grade class and talk about Jesus. It's as hostile as it comes. And so I just close today as we think about this, as we think about the power of the Holy Spirit and that gift that God gives us so that we would minister for Him, so that we would go out for Him. It's tremendous. You know what? And Jesus has already told us in the previous verses that if you go out and you testify about Christ, you might die. He told the disciples they're already going to die. But He says you might die also. But think about this. Think about this. If we're really in the vine and we take on the character of the vine, what did the vine do? Went to the cross in spite of all the shame and died so that some might believe. And so if we take on the character of the vine, why should we be any different? So I'm just saying today, as you think about your prayers, as you think about this passage, that we just praise God today, right? That He did not leave us as orphans, even when we looked like orphans. That He has given us the power of God in us through the Holy Spirit. He has come alongside of each one of us who place our trust in Him, right? And Jesus says, and you will testify. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your words today. Tremendously powerful, and you know, that we would be diligent to seize these things. I wonder often, Father God, as we've talked about in the last few days, how the martyrs stood up against being martyred. Truth of it is, Lord, that we can do nothing without You. And so I pray today, Father, that we would have this realization in us, but we would also know that there is the ultimate power in the universe within us as well, that You have put this treasure in earthen vessels that we might testify about Your great name, that 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds would believe. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your powerful testimony today. We love You. We pray this in Your precious name. Amen.